speaker. He is someone who's from among our own ranks. He is an ordained minister by Elam Fellowship. He serves as associate pastor here at Living Water, and he is the worship director here also. And he has led more than just a few short-term mission trips to NYSEM in New York City, which is a ministry that ministers to the homeless and also those who are in the inner city. And a little over a year ago, he became the director of the House of Hope in Leroy, Hope Center. Thank you. You know, I wrote it down here the right way. He became the director of the Hope Center of Leroy. Oh, the House of Hope is on my mind because of Tanzania. I know that's where I'm going. So, but that's a Christ-centered community outreach ministry. But most importantly, what I really want to say about Henry is that he is a man who has faithfully followed the call of God that's on his life. He has a heart to see people hear the gospel and also receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So please welcome Reverend Henry Moore to the podium.
Okay, I didn't do this, but I come in this morning and I said it. I saw it and I thought, you know, I need to erase that. It's just, it's not even funny. And the Lord said, really? I found a lot of humor in it. And he said, somebody loves you and they know what you're going to share today. And because of that, you better leave it alone. So I thought, well, okay, I can actually use that. And so I will. A lot of you know me. I've been here for, oh gosh, I don't know, 14 years, something like that. When I came in, I looked like that. I had hair down here, and, you know, I was just this guy that came and sat in a seat over here to just sit. And Pastor Mike shared last week about two different types of people in the church. There's the doer and the auditor. Well, I was the auditor. I just wanted to be able to say, hey, I went to church on Sunday. What about you? I never got to really think about the fact of what I wanted to share. So that's why I so appreciated old school Henry, because that's who I was. For those of you who don't know me, I have my wife, Val, who serves here as the administrative assistant. She's my backbone. You know, she's the one that every time I feel like, oh, I don't know, should I go on, she stands me up and reminds me. I've got two wonderful kids and a son-in-law and a grandchild that I've watched flourish. I've watched God move in their lives and take them to new levels that I could have never done on my own. And I find that very exciting because I can look back now. Someday I'm going to look and say, what happened in my life that changed in others? And I realize that part of it's my family. I've seen them do great things. I know they're going to do greater things. I know God's not finished with them yet, though they may not realize that. He's not done. And so that's kind of my story. I got saved because of my wife. Well, I should say I recommitted my life because of my wife. She told me after we got married, she said, you know, honey, before we got married, I asked Jesus to be in our wedding. And I thought about it, and I thought, really? I guess I wouldn't have thought about that, though I went to a church, and I stood before a pastor, and I did all of those things that you would do in a church to get married. And then we decided... Well, she decided she wanted to go through a book study, and I said, all right, I guess I'll go. And that was the beginning of a journey that just took shape. So that's kind of my story, okay? So those of you who know me, you know, you've seen that. Those of you who don't, you know a little bit more about me. How many people love to hear a good story? Get you charged up. How many people here can tell a good story? Jay, thank you. You know what? You can all tell a good story. We've all got a story to tell. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes they're long. Sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're boring. But they're a story. And we need to be able to use those stories for the good of others. I want to discuss something this morning. This should be near and dear to all your hearts. And this is your friends. It's your family. It's those you see daily. And those people that are dear to you, I want you to know, are also dear to God. And he's got a plan for that. I'm going to emphasize this whole story from the demoniac. Okay? Now, the demoniac, briefly, was a guy who had many demons living inside of him, and you know, he was in a position where his life was just terrible and nothing ever went right. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about the demoniac. Now, here's the funny part about this. Well, I thought it was funny. I'm not going to share those people as being the demoniac. I want to share that you people were the demoniac. Okay? So bear with me and understand what I'm trying to say. It's not saying that you're demon-possessed, no, all of these things. What I'm saying is there was something in our life that we needed. So I'm comparing you to the demoniac this morning. The title of my message is Go Back and Tell Them. Go back and tell them. You've got your Bible or your phone app, and you want to follow along this morning. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to talk about the demoniac, and we're going to talk about what happened in his life and what Jesus did that made a difference. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man of unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. To me, that's a pretty strong man. Because he had often bound him in shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken into pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out in a loud voice and said, "What have I done? Or what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many. We are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him into the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all of the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Now, there were about 2,000 swine, that we may enter them. And Jesus gave them the permission. And then the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. If you're taking notes this morning, I have 7 points that I want to share that happened in this story. The first thing I want to talk about is the miracle. And I appreciated this morning when I was listening to the song Miracles, I realized that God is a God of miracles. Every one of us is a miracle, first off. And every one of us have had a miracle happen in our life, whether we know it or not. Here we see one of the most dramatic miracles that Jesus ever did. He healed a man who was desperately, desperately in a bad spiritual state. This man was demon-possessed. He wasn't demon-possessed by one demon. You know, we watch movies, years ago, The Exorcist was a big movie, and, you know, it was all about a demon in this person. This guy had nearly 2,000 different demons living in him. Can you imagine the torment? I mean, he didn't have the spirit of anger or the spirit of lust or the spirit of depression. He had them all. All of them, all at one time, living inside of him, tormenting him day after day, night after night. And it was so powerful, he couldn't contain what was happening. And all he could do was battle within himself to try to break free, but nothing in his own power could make it happen. Now, when Jesus entered Gerasenes, I guess that's right, the demon-possessed man came to him that had lived in the tombs, and realizing that no one could subdue him, he was not right in mind, crying out continually a self-destructive behavior. The demon-possessed man ran up to Jesus, and he fell before Jesus. Now, I don't picture normally a demon running up and falling down on his knees before Jesus, but the man himself fell on his knees before Jesus. He understood the authority that Jesus had. You know, the power that Jesus had, he was aware of that. And the demon cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So now the demons decided he's going to step in because he doesn't want this man to be given to Jesus. He said, "I implore you not to torment me." He's asking Jesus to not torment him. The demon's fearful. Inside of him, he knows no matter what happens, he's about to lose. He begged Jesus again and again not to send him out into the country, not to send him out in another area. If we go back to verse 11, it says, "Now a large herd of swine was feeding in the mountains. So all of the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter them.' They were more willing to be moved into a bunch of pigs than they were to be cast into the abyss." Now, they knew that the abyss is where their final destination is. That's where they're going to go. That's where they're going to end up. But in their minds, they're thinking, if we can just get into the swine, we still have some free rein. We still have an opportunity to run. We still have an opportunity to leave them and enter another. But Jesus pulled another one, and he cast them into them. And at that point in time, he sent the swine into the sea to drown. It left them nothing. Jesus did a miracle when he healed that demoniac. The people who had seen it, who had been watching, who took care of the pigs, they ran away. They ran back to the city, and they got all of the people, and they said, "Come here and look at what Jesus just did. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened." And all of the people ran back. But you know what was on their mind? "Oh my gosh, we just lost 2,000 pigs. We just lost all of the food that we could have gotten from them. We just lost all of the money we could have made by selling them." Not one of them at that point in time reflected on the miracle that a man had just been healed. A man had just had many demons cast out of him and gone. The reaction of the people was not about healing at all. There was no excitement. There was no joy. So despite the miracle, the only thing they could say, "Jesus, we want you to leave. We don't even want you here. We don't care that you healed a man. You've just taken our livelihood. You've taken everything that we have." Demon-possessed man was delivered. Now you may not have reached that same type of low in your life. You may not have found yourself having even one demon within you, though there's a good possibility that some state in your life was because of that. You know, I don't think a lot of times when we think about sickness and disease and cancers and depressions as being a demonic spirit, but I believe they are. I believe they really are. These are things that Satan has put upon you to steal you, to bring death. My second point is the request. Verse 18 says, "And when he got in the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him." What was his request? He says, "I want to go with you. I want to leave this place. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to live in the same place that I always lived." He wanted to follow Jesus. He was asking Jesus, "Will it be okay? I want to be the 13th disciple. I want to be number 13. I want to be the one that goes with you, and I want to be the one that helps lead people. I'm willing to leave everything I have just to be with you." Here's my third point. This is Jesus' response. Verse 19 says, "However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you.'" He said, "Go home. Go home." He didn't mean, "I don't want you to be with me." That's not at all what Jesus meant. He wanted to use him. He wanted to be able to take what he had done and use it. Jesus knew what would be best. The greatest benefit to the kingdom would be if the man went back home, went back to his friends. He instructed him to go back home and tell everyone. Tell everybody. Don't just go home and tell your wife what happened today. "Hey, honey, I'm better. I'm home." I mean, that's a good place to start, because she's going to be hopefully excited that you're back to normal. But he wanted us to tell everybody. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. The Lord's will for us is to share. It's to share our story. We've got to tell people. We've got to be open. Don't be afraid of what people are going to think about you. They knew who you were. They saw me with long hair running around, drinking beer, singing in a rock and roll band. They thought I was crazy. I was. I thought I was in a good place. I thought I was making a difference. The only difference I made was to myself, and it wasn't good. Here's another example of what happens when someone shares their story. I love this one. This is so amazing to me when I think about this. Jesus travels across the country, and they get into a desert parched area, and he wants a drink of water, and the disciples are like, "We're hungry. We're going to go get some food. We're going to go check out what's going on." And Jesus walks up to a well, and here's a woman. You guys know this. Here's this woman. She's pulling water out of the well, and he walks over to her, and he says, "Hey, give me a drink." And this leads into this whole big story, and I'm not going to go in it because it could be a whole sermon in itself. But, you know, she gives him a drink of water, and, you know, they have a conversation, and, you know, it gets into many different things, and Jesus finally looks at her, and he says, "Hey, why don't you go home and grab your husband and bring him back?" And she says, I can't do that. I can't go get my husband." He goes, "You're right when you say that. You can't, because you've had 5 husbands. And you're not even married right now to the one that you live with." That woman had a story. Probably a long story. Probably a hurtful story. I mean, it doesn't explain why she went through 5 husbands. It doesn't explain why she's allowed herself to go on to another man. All it says is, "You had." In John chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "The woman left the water jar beside the well, and she ran She ran back to the village telling everyone. She was so excited about what Jesus told her that she just had to go back and tell everybody. She's like, you got to come with me. You got to hear what this says. Verse 29, come and see what this man told me, everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. I believe they went running back because they probably didn't believe her. And they're like, are you kidding me? This woman's crazy. We got to see this. We got to see it. There's just no way. You know, we know who she is, and we know her story, and it's not good. And, you know, she's that woman that's been married 5 times. And you know, I realize that, you know, those things, when we go and tell somebody what happens, it piques their attention. It gets them thinking for them. Part of my story of what happened in my life was because I had allowed myself. Now, I was raised in a church. My grandmother used to drag me by my ear to church on Sunday, and I was always happy. And I really felt like the Lord spoke to me early on, but there came a time in my life where things didn't go so well. And I took a turn for the worst, and I decided that every step that I took was my own, and it didn't matter. If you didn't like me, I didn't care. If I didn't like my job, I quit. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And my family loved me, and they tried to encourage me, and it just didn't matter to me. I became so selfish that I decided it's my way or nothing. And so what I did was, I had a plan. My plan was, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to make my life better. I'm going to make it a career, and everything's going to go well. Well, what happened was, I dragged along my past with me. So even though I joined the military to do something better, which thankfully I did because it did do a few good things, I dragged my past, and it didn't work out. I got out of the military. And I came back home to the same old thing, the same old friends, doing everything I always did, only worse. And then I got it in my head I wanted to be a singer in a band. So lo and behold, my day came, I got to be a singer in a band, and it just got worse. Because everything I was doing, I was thinking my life was getting better, was just adding fuel to the fire. And though everybody around me thought, man, you got such a great life. You know, you're out there, you're singing, you're rock and rolling. People around you, you're getting free food and all the other things that come with it. But what happened was the darkness inside me just continued to grow. And I remember waking up one morning, and I was late for work, and I was hungover. And I went and I looked in the mirror, and I thought, man, I don't even know who I am anymore. I have no idea what the heck is going on. I looked in my eyes. All I saw was darkness. And the only thing I could do was go back and sit down on my bed and look back a long ways. And I said, Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But if you don't help me, if I don't wake up tomorrow, it doesn't matter. I just don't care. I'm scared. I'm alone. The whole world sees me as one thing, but that's not what I see. God answered that. And my life began to change drastically, very quickly. When Jesus truly heals people, changes people, it's an amazing thing. That man was a vivid demonstration of this. We all have a story to tell. Every one of us has something in our life that we can tell somebody else about that will bring change. My fourth point is this. This is the way we do it. We look at this. Who was I? Who was I? No one can argue with your story. Nobody can argue with your testimony. This man simply said, I was demon-possessed. I lived in the tombs. I was self-destructive. I carved myself up with stones. This is who I was. We just tell about the person we were before we got saved. That's all we have to do. Who I was. This is who I was. I was a party animal. I was a rock and roller. That's who I was. My next point is this. What happened? What happened? I'm sure he just told them what the Lord had done. I ran and I threw myself at his feet. And Jesus cast the demons out of me. I confessed something to him. And because I confessed it, he changed it. Jesus healed me. Because he healed me, now I'm whole. What did he do for you? What did he change in your life? Write it down. Write it down. Who was I? I was. What did he do? He did this. The next thing is, who am I after this happened? Who am I now? Now I'm saved and I'm in my right mind. I obey the command of my Master Lord Jesus, who told me to go and tell my friends. That's who I am. And also telling everybody around me of what he did in my life. That's what we've got to do. That's who I am now. I'm the guy who loves to share my story. It's not because I want to boast about how bad I was. That's not at all it. I am not proud of who I was. But I'm humble enough to share it with you, because if it'll make a difference in your life to realize it, it can change you like it changed me, like it changed the demoniac, like it changed the woman at the well. I think that's what God wants us to do. Every testimony contains who I was, what happened, and who I am now. Who I am now, now that I know Christ. This man had a story. It's a story that you can't argue with theologically. No matter what you do, it happened. There's power in our testimony. It's the power to change lives. Not our own. Ours has already changed. There's also power in going back and sharing your story. Your testimony has power and you need to share it. You've got to go tell someone. You've got to go back and tell them. I read an article. Charles Stanley put this out. This is what he said. He said, "A few years ago, one of our church deacons died. In preparing for his funeral, I thought about the truth that countless people realize because of his life. If God can save this man, he can save anybody. He could save me. He can save anybody." Can you say that? The deacon was a Christian for 30-plus years, but before that, he'd lived hard. He participated in some despicable activities, and he had to pay the price behind bars. But once God got hold of him, he couldn't stay quiet about his heart's transformation. This former slave to sin spent every minute of each week sharing the gospel in prisons. The inmates listened, and many believed because their minister's life was a testament of God's power. The deacon would often share excitedly with me those who had come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are seeing this over and over again when people share their testimony, what happens. When a believer goes back and tells his story of what Jesus did to save him, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's not being boastful. It's being transparent. The man couldn't help doing what Jesus charged him to do. He was overflowing with joy. He was so excited that God took him from this place and he lifted it off from him. He took it from his shoulders. The weight was gone. He was free. Who can argue with your story? Who can argue with it? It's not their story, it's your story. This is the power of the believer. It's not about being an ordained pastor. It's not about seminary training. You don't have to go to school to get trained to tell who you were and who you are and what God did. He didn't undergo lengthy training. He just went out and shared his story of what Jesus did in his life. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, I mean, Jesus sent the man back to the same place where he had cast the demons out. He sent him back to the people who sent him away. If they're not going to listen to me, maybe they'll listen to him. Okay? Maybe they'll listen to you. My last point is the results of what happened. Because this man went back home, because this man was willing to do what Jesus told him to do, even though he wanted to be the 13th disciple, he said, all right, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to start to share my story, and I'm going to let people laugh at me, and I'm going to let people make jabs at me, and I'm going to let people say, I don't believe a word of what you're saying. Are you kidding me? Seriously? You think this Jesus did that? No, I know. I know that my Jesus did that. In Mark 5, verse 20, we read that this man proclaimed throughout all of Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and they marveled. They marveled. They were excited. Jesus left because of the fact that they sent him away, but because this man stayed. If we move forward to Mark chapter 7, verse 31, we read that after a season, Jesus returned to Decapolis. And what a difference, because now in Decapolis, they all gathered around Jesus because they heard his story. This is what happens when a man goes and tells his story to his friends, to his family, to those he meets on the streets. The power of a believer telling his story is tremendous. When Jesus went back to the city, they wouldn't leave him. They started following him around. They were asking him to heal them. It's a good thing that Jesus didn't take the guy with him. And as we go a little bit farther along, as the people began to follow him, when you go into chapter 8, it starts talking about the feeding of 4,000. Now, Jesus had already fed 5,000, and the disciples saw the miracle, but this time the people wanted the miracle. Because one man stayed, Jesus had an opportunity to speak and feed 4,000 people, plus friends and family and children. So the numbers are huge. Because one man, one man's story. God will set men and women in your path. He'll set them in your path for the reason of you sharing your testimony. Now, you can't always just walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Because it's probably not going to always work. Now, sometimes it will. But you know how I share my story? I listen. I listen. The easiest way for me to share my story with you is to hear what's going on in your life. Hey, how you doing today, man? I'm just terrible. I'm just terrible. Things just suck. I didn't care if I got out of bed this morning. Man, what happened? What's going on? Oh, you know, just this, you know, and that, and I don't even know how to deal with it anymore. Can I share something with you? Can I tell you about somebody who loves you no matter when nobody else does? Can I tell you about somebody who made a difference in my life because of what he did for me? I can't say I ever walked in your shoes, because I didn't. But I had my own pair of shoes. And they were dirty. And they were filthy. And they had holes in them. And they were tight. And they didn't fit. And they hurt. And I gave my life to the Lord, and he gave me a new pair of shoes. What's your story? What is it that's in your life that drew you near to God? Lori, would you come? We got to tell our stories. You know, it's easy to go to church on Sunday morning and get filled up and be excited about what Pastor talked about. And I got to tell you, last week, Pastor Mike shared something, and I reflected on it. Most of us walk out of here 72 hours later, can't remember what the pastor said. I'm one of them. Not purposely, but it's because of the fact that I let the world take hold of me again, and I walk, and I want to know, and I want to remember, and I want to live by it, but I don't focus on it. I'm not focusing there. The fields are ripe, folks. The harvest is ready. It's our job. It's our job to be joyful, to be excited about it. We don't have to go out feeling like it's a burden. Oh, gosh, I got to share my testimony this week. Really? You're going to make me tell the story again. I don't want to talk to that person. They're dirty. They smell. They haven't showered in forever. You realize when we go in homeless ministry, the people I meet, but you know what? It's not about me. Jesus. It's about Jesus, people. This is the man that gave up everything so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says, go out and spread the word to the ends of the earth. I don't know where the end of the earth is. You go round and around. It doesn't end. Get it? It doesn't end. When you're done with your story should be picked up from the next person and it should go on. And it should be picked up from the next one and it should go on. We should be sharing this with our kids in our home. Don't be afraid to tell them who you were. I wasn't a good person, but I don't want you to be like that. Tell our story. Scripture says the Lord desires that all people be saved. Everyone. I'm thankful I'm saved. And I want to see more people saved. So what's your story? Can you write it down? Can you think about how you can use it? What is it in your life that drew you near to the Lord? This is where you start. Was it lust? Was it fear? Anger, depression, loneliness, drugs, alcohol, selfishness, worthlessness. Nowhere else to turn. I got nothing left. The list goes on and on and on. I couldn't even think of all of the things that goes through people's minds and their lives and gets them to places where they are. But I can think of the answer. This is what creates our story. This is what creates our testimony. This is where it all begins in us. And we just have to be willing to let it come out of us. We as Christians are to invest in the lives of others. Help people along. See people in need, grab hold of them somehow. You see a teenager, if you're a guy, you see a teenage boy that's struggling, reach out to him. If you're a woman and it's a younger woman, or reach out to him. Sow something into their life. Make a difference. Tell them your story. Tell them your story. They might look at you and say, how did you know? How did you know that's my life? How did you know that's where I am? We shared with a guy down in New York City. The guy was so drunk, he couldn't hold his head up. My daughter comes to me. She says, Dad, you got to come over here. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. And I went over, and this guy's, he is so drunk, he can't stop slobbering on himself. And he's just, ugh. And I felt like the Lord said to me, he said, ask him what he wants. just ask him what he wants. And I thought, God, that's a bold question to ask a man. And he said, but if you don't ask him, he has no one else to tell. I said, okay. I got down on my knee in front of this guy and I said, I'm just going to ask you one question. What is it that you want right now? He said, I want to go home to be with God. And the Lord told me, he said, he's going to commit suicide tonight. Tonight. And I said, Lord, I don't want this man to die. He said, tell him about me. Tell him your story. I began to share with him a little bit. And I said, can I pray with you? And he said, sure. So I got the team together and I had them all lay hands on this guy. And we started to pray. And I just felt something coming over me because words were coming out of my mouth that I didn't even know where they were coming from. I didn't plan it that way. But God inspired it. And the guy looks at me and he's got tears running down his face. And when he looked up, he was totally sober. Totally sober. And the only thing he said to me is, how did you know? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, how could you have possibly known? And I said, you'll have to explain to me what it is. Now, in my heart, I knew, but I needed him to tell me. He said, I was going to go out there tonight. I was going to jump off the George Washington Bridge. I was going to end my life because no one cares. And I said, don't you have family? He said, they don't care. He said, I've trashed my life. I've ruined my life. Nobody wants me anymore. Nobody wants to help me. I said, Jesus wants to help you. Jesus loves you. And I can't take you to God, but I can bring Jesus to you right now. Amen. And we got to share with the man. He gave us all a hug and tears. And when he walked away, I truly believe he didn't die, but he had new life. Because we shared something with him that night. I don't know where he's at today. I'd love to run into him again. I probably never will, but I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to see him. And he's going to see everybody that was on that team that night, and he's going to say thank you. Because of you, I'm here today. What's your story? God offers salvation to the entire world. However, there are people in everyone's life they've never even heard you speak of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. They know you're saved. They know you're a Christian. But have you shared with them anything? Tell your story. Tell your story. When it comes to reaching the lost, all believers, are personally responsible. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. You cannot get involved in a wiser and more everlasting venture than pouring out your spiritual wealth onto someone else. You might set the stage for not just one person, but for everybody that follows that person. You know, we can't even fathom the amount of people that get saved because one person got saved because of you. Because I got saved, I spoke to this one, this one, and this one, and this one. They got saved. They spoke to this one, this one, this one, this one. You realize how fast it spreads. It's like wildfire. But if we don't share it, what's it going to change? If God can use a former demoniac to reach his friends and his family and an entire city, think of what he can do with each one of us this morning. You guys feel like you could share something with somebody? I know it's not easy, and I know there's a lot of you that do share. And I know there's a lot of you that want to share, but you don't know what to say. I would say pray about it. Lord, what would you have me say that's different, that will make a difference, that will change a life? I know this person. Man, I love this person. But they're stone cold. They've got a heart like a rock. They just don't receive. They don't care. They don't believe in their mind they could ever change. They're so dirty, and they're so burdened, and they're so wounded. How could Jesus ever save me? because you can lead them through a journey. And it may not happen in the first conversation, but your life is a story. I'm excited at what God's going to do. I believe that if every one of us shared our story and we were bold enough to trust God and said, you know what, Lord, one of the reasons I want to use my story is because I want to fill our church to overflow. I want to see that many people coming in here that we have to have a second service, a third service. We need a bigger building. You realize you could do that? If one man can get 4,000 people to a position to go to have a meal with Jesus, we're one person. We're one person. We are Spirit-filled with a Savior who wants to save all. Amen. Let's pray. Won't you stand with me this morning? I never planned on being this person. I never planned on coming to church and speaking. I never planned on being a worship director. I never planned on being the director of the Hope Center. I never planned on going to New York City. This is our 10th year of going. I never planned on that. That wasn't my goal. That wasn't what I set my sights on. I didn't want to be that person in my mind when it all started. But God had a different plan. And I believe that God's got a plan for us today. He's going to teach us something new. I could just get the ministry teams to come up. If you've never shared your story before and you thought that my story will never make a difference, it doesn't have to be a big story. It doesn't have to be a great story. It doesn't have to be a novel. It has to be a willingness to be transparent. Lord, we're so grateful that you saved each one of us. We're so grateful to know that you went to the cross, that you died that we may have life. We're so grateful for the change that you've made in each one of us. And Lord, that the change hasn't ended, that every day there's change. Every day there's something new, there's something fresh, and that you show us new things. And Lord, I pray that you'll empower us to share our stories, to be that disciple that you've called us to be, to reach out to those in need, to not be fearful of who I was to a point that I wouldn't share it because I don't want to be embarrassed about it. That you would use this, Lord, to encourage me, to remind someone else that, hey, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you too. If he can change me, he can change you. If he can change them, he can change you. Father, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. And your desire is for us to make a difference. To make a difference. To be willing servants to go before those we know and those we don't know, and just speak freely, even when it's uncomfortable. So Lord, give us grace. Give us wisdom. Give us words of wisdom that will bring life. Give us strength to stand firm in your word and trust in you to know that you put people in our path every single day for your glory and for your purposes. And we have a right to make a decision whether we will or we won't. But Lord, give us the strength to always say that, you know, I realize I'm going to be late for an appointment if I do this, but you're more important to me than this appointment right now. That you're more important to me than those things that I need to do. That I know that you'll fulfill the destiny of what you have for me because of what I do for you. So if I'm late for work, I'm late for work. I don't have to lie about why. Who knows, you might get to work late and the boss might ask you why you're late. You might say that I had to share my testimony with somebody and they got saved. And he said, what are you talking about? What's your testimony? Next thing you know, you've shared it again. It's like a trickle-down effect. So Father, work in us. Feed us, teach us. Encourage and strengthen us. Give us a boldness to be like the demoniac. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the miracles. I do believe that someone got healed this morning. I just sensed it as I was standing there waiting to come up. I just believe that the Lord did move in this place, even before I started to speak, that He was alive in this place today. We're thankful for that as well. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand this morning.